Welcome, everyone, to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson, and we appreciate you spending your time with us. We hope you enjoy today's show. We have on the show today John Spurr, who is the owner of Inspired Life Mortgage, who will be discussing mortgages and financing. And we have Sherry Gillette from Caring Transitions to talk real estate sales and real estate sales, right?
Estate sales. Yeah, we could say estate sales, but more, I think more importantly, helping your loved one in that maybe an older person be able to transition in a very comfortable way. So looking forward to hearing what she has to say.
And she also has online auctions. So we have John Spurr in the, what's the place called? The studio?
In the studio, in the hot seat.
In the hot seat. So give us the overall, what's going on in the market right now, John?
Well, it seems like every time I'm on the show with you, it's when the Fed is meeting, and they're meeting for 2 days.
Isn't that true?
It's every time.
Every single show, it's always when they're meeting, and usually not even after. It's always right before.
And the news media is all over the place. They're saying that the Fed should have gone a half last time. They didn't do enough. The economic data we're getting is both ends of the spectrum. We had unemployment numbers come out today, which, I mean, for me, I was happy with them because rates came down a little bit, which is great, but the unemployment numbers weren't amazing. But right now, we need bad news to get better interest rates. That's amazing. That's just what it is. We need bad news to get better interest rates. But regardless of the Fed raises the rates quarter or a half, the market's already built a half in. We've already seen significant rate increases in the last week and a half, and the market has built in that 50 basis points, or they believe the Fed's going to go 50 basis points. Now, if they only go a quarter, that's going to be great for us. Okay. And we'll see rates come back around. But the other thing is, I was in a title company yesterday, and I just finished up a closing, and I asked the escrow officer, I go, what are you guys seeing for interest rates right now? And they're like, oh man, people are closing at 7.25%. Everything's coming across at 7.25%. And it blows my mind because, I mean, I have my rate sheet up right here in front of me, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man, I can do 6.375, 6.5 all day long. Uh-huh. So I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, what lenders people are using and who they're going to, and not shopping around. But rates in my book are not 7.75%. You can still get rates in the mid sixes.
And is that for all lending opportunities, VA, FHA, USDA, and?
VA and USDA, you can probably get into the high fives, like the whole car dealership 599. You know, it's really 6%, but you don't have the 6 in the front, right? So, but it depends on the loan product. It depends on your credit score. There's a lot of factors, how much money you're putting down, the property you're buying. There's a lot of different things that go into the makeup of what interest rate you're going to get.
Right.
But the real message I want to make sure we get out there, or that I can get out there, is there is a significant difference in interest rate from lender to lender. And if it's a banker or a broker or a retail bank, like one of the big banks, like, you know, the one that has a Stagecoach, and us as a mortgage broker, we have low overhead and we're in a great position right now. We have lower rates and we have lower fees.
Shopping around is probably the thing we need to emphasize to the buyers and buyers at this time.
Ray, I will never understand this one. People will spend 3 months shopping for a refrigerator, waiting for a holiday so they can save $200 on a refrigerator, but they go to the very first lender they find online and they take that rate and they don't take the time to just shop a couple places.
We were talking with you last week and you mentioned something about the month of February and how the rates were the highest and the lowest. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in the month of February functioned the way every February functions for mortgage rates, as long as I've been doing this. And we had the lowest rates since October, and we had the highest rates since October in 21 working days.
The shortest month of the year.
Shortest month of the year, and we had the most volatility in rates, and that's fairly normal year in and year out when we're in a purchase market for interest rates. My opinion, the good news is we're hitting that peak again that we hit in October, and the treasuries and the bond market are fighting that number, and they continue to hit the ceiling and bounce down, hit the ceiling and bounce down. Really, it's going to be, what does the Fed do in 2 weeks? Do they go a quarter? Do they go a half? If they go a half, the rates we have today are here to stay for a little while. If they go a quarter, we should see some recovery.
Okay.
Well, and I've asked you this before, but when someone is trying to shop rates, it's so confusing for the consumer who may only do this once every decade. to go through that process. What advice would you give someone so that they're actually comparing, you know, apples to apples or oranges to oranges?
The first thing I will tell you is do not put your information into a lending tree or a best rate or any of these websites that are going to go search for the best interest rate for you. Because as soon as you do that, they are selling your information to about 100 loan officers and your phone is going to ring off the hook and every single one of them is going to have the greatest, best deal on the face of the planet. Shop locally. Look for a local lender. Look for a loan officer that you can go sit down across a table and have coffee with. You can shake their hand. You can go to their office. Rate is important, but it's not the most important part of the transaction. You need somebody that's educated and knows how to get the transaction done. And you need somebody that you can work well with personality-wise. As far as actual rate, make sure when you shop, if you're shopping three or four lenders, that you tell them the same thing. Use the same credit score if you looked up your credit score. Use the same loan amount. Use the same type of house. Use the same down payment. Because if you tell lender A that you're buying a $400,000 house with 25% down, and then you tell lender B you're buying a $300,000 house with 3% down, you're going to get two drastically different rates, and you're not doing yourself any favors because you gave them an apple for one and an orange for the other.
Right, right.
So when you go to ask the questions, make sure you're asking them or telling them the exact same loan amount, down payment, credit score, and don't let them pull your credit. They do not need to pull your credit to quote your rate if all you're doing is checking to see where rates or fees are at. They do not need to pull your credit.
Is requiring a rate the same thing as requiring a pre-qual?
No.
Okay. I wanted to make sure.
Yeah. No, no. Getting pre-qualified or getting pre-approved is completely different than going and just shopping for an interest rate. At that point, we're going to pull credit. We're going to ask for your income documentation. We're going to ask for your assets. And then we're going to give you an idea of what you qualify and what programs are available for you. We take it one step further. We'll put it in front of underwriter, get it fully underwritten. That's where you guys get those pre-approval letters that I give you to go out and shop with. And that just shows you're pre-approved and you're absolutely serious when you go out to buy.
So one of the things that we have said in the past as well is that as listing agents, we also like to see that it's a local lender because we want to be able to have that same opportunity to sit down face-to-face and to be able to ask questions. It's a lot harder to dodge the hard questions when you live in the same town. And when you have people that, you know, your reputation is at stake. And so it's a lot easier for someone who's invisible online to not answer the phone. So we just totally appreciate seeing a local lender and also someone who does have a lot of experience. The other thing that we run into is on occasion when we're dealing with someone that's not local is they send out appraisers that are not local.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen that without local, non-local lenders. An appraiser from up in Phoenix comes down and they don't know the marketplace. The other thing I like about a local lender is I know my marketplace. This is my backyard.
Right.
And underwriters are typically out of state and they don't know this backyard. So I can guide them down the right path with particular properties and what's going on.
Oh, that's great news. Well, that's good information. We're here with John Spurr of Inspired Life Mortgage. Thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. You're listening to the I Am Real Estate Show with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson on KVOI, The Voice. We're back with our wonderful guest, John Spurr of Inspired Life Mortgage, talking about interest rates, mortgages, and also financing for home buyers who are looking to get into the market. Did you explain how mortgage rates work for interest rates? Did you already explain that to us before?
We talked about the Fed and them changing rates, but I think the misconception is that people believe that the rate the Fed controls immediately changes mortgage rates.
Yes, I understand.
And that just is not the case. It's the rate the Fed controls, and it sounds really weird, is the rate that banks loan each other money overnight. Now, that trickles into everything else because we know banks don't give away anything for free.
Right.
So that starts getting into short-term interest rates. It starts changing the 10-year treasury. The 10-year treasury will have a direct effect on the 30-year mortgage bond, and it's a trickle-down effect. But the other thing I don't think people understand is in the investment world, a mortgage-backed security is traded like a commodity.
Right.
They're banking on what rates are going to be in the future because we're doing the loan today and it's not going to make it to the mortgage-backed securities market, and a bundle will be sold for 90 days. So they're constantly projecting what rates are going to be, and they're trading it like a commodity. And so it's significantly more complicated than anybody knows. I mean, I don't even know all the ins and outs. I know enough to be dangerous, and I know enough to know that when the rates are going to go up or go down.
You know what? I have to sound really smart and get my head spinning just a little bit every once in a while.
Oh, but again, I try really hard not to focus on rate. In a good rate environment or a higher rate environment, and let's keep in mind that interest rates are still lower than the 40-year average of mortgage rates.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not the sky falling doomsday scenario that the news media would like everybody to believe. I just don't like focusing on the rate because it's not the most important part of the transaction.
Well, without focusing on the rate, but still hanging around that topic, if you had a buyer that called you today and got pre-qualified today, what advice are you going to give them as far as locking in their rate? At what point would you have that conversation?
We have two new lenders that we work with. And again, I want to just say this real quick. I'm a mortgage broker, which means I have access basically to every mortgage lender in the country. I have 29 that I work with right now, but I have access to everybody. We picked up two new lenders that let us do what's called lock and shop. And so we can actually lock your rate in before you have a property address. And you have up to 120 days to find a property and close. And the other part that I really love about this new product is, let's say you find a house and within 15, 20 days, the inspections come back and all of a sudden sewer line's bad, roof's bad, and you don't want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't lose that lock. We get to keep it and we get to take it on to the next property, which is something that's very new that hasn't been out there. So my suggestion would be, if you're serious about buying a house, we can lock you in before you have a property and we can lock and shop. Now, I can't tell you when to lock. I can give you my opinion of what I think the market's going to do. I don't have a crystal ball. If I did, I wouldn't be here with you on the radio. I'd be on a beach somewhere. But I can advise you. I can tell you what I think the market's going to do, where it should go based on the news that's coming out, and then we can make a decision together.
And are you still seeing contracts come across your desk that have sellers doing a contribution towards buying that interest rate down?
It is the vast majority of them.
Okay.
I think I have, out of the 11 purchases closing this month, I have two that didn't have seller contribution.
Okay. You want to speak a little bit about what that seller contribution looks like and what that money is going towards?
So we can use it for a lot of things. We can use it to what we call buy the rate down, which is essentially you're paying money to get a lower interest rate. Some people are using it for temporary buy downs. I'm not a temporary buy down fan. It can go towards your fees, your lender fees, your title fees. It can go towards your prepaid interest, insurance, taxes. I mean, we just closed a transaction where all of the buyer's fees were covered. And I think there was $400 left over and is getting paid to the principal of their balance. And that all came out of seller contribution. And I think we contributed $1,500, $1,600 to it also. So you can, with seller contributions, lender contributions, realtor contributions that want to contribute, they can cover all of your closing costs and all you need is your down payment.
When you talk about buy down, are you talking about taking the interest rate from 5.65 to 5.45 or something like that? That's what I understand a buy down to mean.
Give you an example right now on...
I love these real life examples.
on a conventional transaction where they're putting 10% down, you would be looking at a rate of almost 7.25%.
Right.
Now, if you had the seller contribute $5,000, this is me doing the loan. You're not going to find this with anybody else. This is just what we do. If the seller contributes $5,000, that rate would be 6.375 today. So 7/8 of a difference, almost a 1% difference in interest rate. And on a $300,000 loan, that's $3,000 a year or $278 a month.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
It's a big difference.
It does make a difference, especially when we're all kind of pushing the limit of our budgets to begin with.
When we look at new products, we talked a little bit about new products. Earlier, you were talking about the new product for 30-year mortgages, but I thought you mentioned there was a possibility of a 40-year mortgage being out there in the future.
There are 40-year mortgages out there today. I keep hunting for one that actually makes sense. We go back to talking about the secondary market for a minute, mortgage-backed securities. It's set up to secure mortgage up to 30 years. It doesn't have an appetite for 40-year mortgages. So the interest rates are, on some of the products, higher, so much higher that it negates the extra 10 years, and your payment ends up being higher. I do believe I found one, and I've been playing with their numbers and trying to find the sweet spot, but I do think I have found one for a 40-year where you actually are going to see some benefit of that longer-term financing. I think it's a Band-Aid for a shotgun wound. It's a way to get into a house right now, and then rates come back down. You'd want to get back into a 30-year or 25 or 20, but I think it's a good product that will let people be able to get into a home because we're spreading that over another 10 years and wait for rates to come back around to where you can refinance into a lower rate.
And at what point, what is that magic number as far as refinancing? So if they come down 0.5%, you're probably not going to recommend someone refinance.
It really depends on how quick rates come back. Mm-hmm. If we see this a steep decline, I'd say let's sit a little bit and wait. I don't think that's going to be. I think we're going to have another one of these gradual runs like at the tail end of 1981 when we hit the peak in rates. It was just slowly came down over the years. I personally, when I look at doing a refinance for somebody, I don't want to lengthen their term. So if you've been in the home for 3 years, I don't want to put you in a 30-year mortgage. I want to put you in a 27-year. Well, we'll put you in a 27-year, and let's lower your rate at least 0.75% to a full point. You're going to save money, and you're not going to go backwards.
Right.
If you do a 30-year mortgage today, and 3 years later you do a 30-year mortgage, you just threw the last 3 years of payments out the window.
Wow.
And so it's looking at two parts. Can we shorten the term, and can we get close to a full percentage lower in rate?
I actually appreciate that you said that, because one of the things that you do is put the client's interests above your own, and you know, not throwing away those 3 years, that's a big deal. And too often I think people are refinancing, they're extending that length of time, and there's just not as much benefit as what I would want to see if I were in that position.
In that 2 year refi boom we had, or a little longer than that, I think we probably did 500 loans in that time frame.
Yeah.
I'd say less than 5% of them were a 30-year. We made sure that we didn't go backwards, and we went with custom term mortgages at shorter terms.
Thanks. Awesome.
That's great. We got more with John after this. So if you're here with John Sparrow of Inspired Life Mortgage, if you're looking to buy or sell your home, or if you have any questions concerning real estate, please call the Johnson Smith team at 520-904-7711.
Or 520-850-1725.
We'll get back on the other side. All right, we're back with mortgage rate extraordinaire, John Sparrow. We're here on the I Am Real Estate Show. You're here with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson. Before we get started, you said a lot of good things in the last couple of segments. How do people get a hold of you? Because I want to make sure they understand, and we'll bring it up at the end of the show also.
The best way to get a hold of me is on my cell phone, 520-247-3610, or John, J-O-N, at theilgroup.com.
Individualism. It seems to be the thing that, to me, that's the focus of what you do. Your loans are not for, it's not for every single person. Each one is done individual.
I've asked you this before, Ray. Do you like being told what to do?
No, I do not.
Yeah, exactly. I don't either. And when you're making the biggest investment of your life, I don't think it should be me telling you as the loan officer or the lending expert that this is what you're going to do. I need to ask questions. I need to learn who you are. I need to find out where you are in your financial life, and then give you options.
I think how long you're going to hold that property makes a difference as well. I mean, there are so many things that you look at when you're working with our clients.
Absolutely. I mean, something as simple as solar panels can make or break a deal. I mean, we've had a deal fall apart yesterday because of solar panels as a loan instead of a lease. And there's a very big difference between solar panel loans and solar leases.
You know, you bring up a good topic. We are going to have someone come in the near future to talk about solar, but I don't think people understand how detrimental that lease can be.
Absolutely. It's borrowed money that is actually secured by your home. And when you go to sell that property, it has to be dealt with. It has to either be transferred to the new buyers, it has to be paid in full, but it has to be dealt with when you go to sell that home. The other thing I think people don't understand is one of the things that is told you put solar on your home, it increases the value of your home, but it only increases the value of your home if it doesn't have a lease on it or a loan on it. Appraisers cannot include it in the appraised value if you don't own it outright.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, and we're not talking a bit of a lease payment or lease balance that's due. A lot of these homes have $30,000 to $50,000 that's owed against the solar. And that's a huge thing to ask a buyer to take on, because you now have to qualify for that much more. And like I said before, a lot of people are shopping kind of at the top of their range of what they qualify for, whether that's a price sensitive decision that they're making because they know what their monthly payment is that they want. When you start tacking on that additional cost, that really does complicate the real estate transaction.
Well, the other part of it is we're doing a purchase. And so you put 10% down. Mm-hmm. You're 90% loan to value, 90% of the value of the home. Well, I have to take into account those $30,000 solar loan. Well, that $30,000 solar loan is a second lien, or lease is a second lien, puts you over 100% loan to value, and we can't do the loan. And that's what we're up against right now, is their combined loan to value of the two loans is higher than what the loan program will allow. And I don't think people understand that it affects how we approve and process that first mortgage.
The loan that you get from, you have to have for the solar, do you have to have it from the same loan company, or to make it simpler to do it that way?
When you're selling the property, the lease or the loan is going to transfer to the new person and stay with the same company.
Wow. I did not expect that.
Yeah, they're just basically assuming the balance.
Assuming the payment. Yeah.
Well, we had a couple of properties that we asked you to run some numbers on, and one of them is in Corona de Tucson. It's 710 East Blue Mesa Place, and that actually qualifies for USDA financing, which could get a buyer in with zero down.
That's correct. The people that certify your beef also loan money in houses. So
That's the way our government works.
That's the way it works, right? So I ran some numbers on that. On a USDA loan with your taxes, insurance, everything in it.
And what is the purchase price that you ran on the scenario?
I ran $400.
Okay.
Your taxes, insurance, all in, a payment on that on USDA would be $2,800 a month. VA, where again, a VA buyer would have no money down, they'd be at $2,880. And I mean, it still qualifies for conventional financing, and I can still get rates at 6.25, 6.5. And with 10% down, you could look at about $2,600 a month for that house. And I love that. I've looked at it multiple times. You've asked me to run numbers on it. I love that house.
It's
a great property
house.
And a great location.
Yeah,
it really is. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And what I really love about it is just how open it is and very light and bright. And then it has view fencing in the back. So you have really nice unobstructed views with a large wash area behind the house. So really nice property. And then the other one I asked you to run was at a purchase price of $232,000. And that's in Academy Village. And that's a 1-bedroom, 1-bath. With also has some great views, and it is a 55 and older community. And so what were the numbers that you ran on that one?
So I just had a chance just to do VA, and we have a lot of retired veterans out mm-hmm. there that are trying to find some affordable housing, right?
Right.
And this is a great, again, I love this property. It's a great place. But on VA, you could get into that house for $1,637 a month. That's taxes, insurance, loan payment, everything.
And it does not include the HOA fees. Let me be
I didn't
clear
see what
on
the
that.
HOA fees
yeah,
were,
so but. You do, you know, it's such an interesting community because as it's named Academy Village, they have a learning academy that you, at age, I believe it's 65, you join the academy. So that's a per person fee to join that. But they do lectures twice a week. They have cooking classes, and they have ceramics, studio, art, games, all the things you would expect, the pool, spa, and exercise facilities. But it is really a unique community that has a lot to offer, but that does come with a little bit higher HOA fee. So those would be on top of the mortgage. So John, we're kind of wrapping up here again. Would you let our listeners know how they can reach you?
You can catch me on my cell phone, 520-247-3610. Email is john@theilgroup.com. Or you can go to our website, inspiredlifemortgage.com.
A couple of things that John brought up, I want to make sure we've been pinpoint some things. One thing he talked about was shopping around. Make sure you shop around, just like you would a refrigerator, shop around for your interest rates. Also, shop locally. Make sure you're trying to use a lender that is in town. It makes your life easier. And when you're talking to loan officers, tell them the same thing. Don't make sure you go apples to apples. Don't try to do apples and oranges. If you're looking for a $400,000 house, tell each one of those lenders you're looking for a $400,000 house. We'd like to thank John Spur, one of our buddies from Inspired Life Mortgage, for coming on today and enlighten us again, like always does, with some good information about financing. How you doing, John?
Thank you.
Welcome back to the I Am Real Estate Show. You're on KBOI 1030 The Voice. You're here with Ray Smith and Sandra Johnson, and we're glad to welcome Sherry Gillette, who is the owner of Caring Transitions. How you doing today, Sherry?
I'm doing great.
We were so excited that we had a chance to work with you recently and learn about what you do at Caring Transitions. So why don't you just give us kind of a nice overview?
Sure. Caring Transitions has been in the Tucson market since 2010. We are primarily focused on helping seniors transition from their home to something smaller. So that would mean that we help them make the tough decisions about what they can keep. And then we pack those things, physically move those items, completely unpack those items and get them settled. And then we can come back into their home and help them disseminate what is left. And we can do that in a number of ways. One would be we can ship things off to their children who typically don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
We can donate those items. We can sell those items or a combination of all those things. Or we can donate them if they'd rather have all of their items donated. Uh-huh. But our goal is always to leave that home in a position to be ready for what's next. If it's being sold, if it's being rented, or it's already sold, which has happened a lot lately. So we can work as quickly as needed. We can take it as slow as needed, but our job is to take care of that senior and their things.
And I think it's all in your name, Caring Transitions.
That's you right. Really, yeah, we love what we do. We didn't anticipate being as much infrastructure as we have. Uh-huh. We do have 60 people on our team.
Wow.
So that we can basically do anything that senior is going to need to have peace of mind and be able to settle in a much smaller space.
You know, you mentioned shipping things to family. The transaction that we recently had where you helped remove the items from the home through online auction.
Yes.
There was a closet left that had personal items in it.
Yes.
And we were actually going to take on getting that back to the seller. And I looked at the prices on shipping, and you know, we drove that to Mission Viejo.
Oh my goodness.
The timing was perfect, and we were able to hand deliver that and meet our client for the first time met up at an In-N-Out Burger in Mission Viejo. Ah. So every once in a while.
In-N-Out.
Yep.
Yeah, we had in that particular circumstance, we do a whole questionnaire with our client, which is sometimes the adult children mm-hmm. that are left behind. Quite often it is. And what they will often say is, just leave it in the house. We'll come back. Well, that doesn't often happen.
Yeah, right.
So we try to be as specific as possible about the solution that they're looking for. Shipping is highly expensive, which is why we're not ever surprised that they say just, you know, leave it there. We'll come get it. you know, the cost of a plane ticket or the cost of gas is going to exceed the shipping. But
right,
I think the personal touch that you guys add to every situation, because this is really a difficult situation, you try to make the best of it. And caring, I think, being the title of your name, your company just says it 100%. And with your employees, everybody's the exact same way. Everyone feels the way the owner does. And I think you do a great job of transferring
that. We do. We are very fortunate that we have a deep team that is more than 50% of our people have been with us for 5 years or more. And it's not because they're making a ton of money. It's because the work we do is important and they feel passionate about the work that they do. We know at the end of the day that we changed a life for better. And as you said, everything is custom. We can't systematize an approach to seniors.
Right, right.
They have to feel special, and that's our job, is to make them feel special and that they are the only ones that matter right now.
Yeah, we're talking with Sherry Gillette, owner of the Caring Transitions.
I was going to say, we had a chance to sit down and meet at Annabelle's Attic face-to-face and just talk with you here a few weeks back. And I had recently gone through moving my parents, and it was tough. It was really tough. So they were just downsizing into a townhouse. And you said at our meeting that you get to have those hard conversations with the family member. And I'm telling you, my mom looked at me at one point and she said, I love you, but I don't like you very much right now.
And that's not uncommon. I think no parent wants to be parented by their children.
Right.
And the interesting role that we play is that they are somehow able to take hard conversations with us more pragmatically. We're not in a power struggle with them. And we let them lead it to a point, but we all, you know, ultimately have to say, your furniture is not going to shrink and your walls will not grow. And we're going to have to make some tough decisions. So, you know, so we try to treat it with humor, and it's less of a power struggle that it can be, not always, but it can be with the adult children of a senior. They don't want to be told what to do by their kids.
I will vouch for that. And my mom will probably be listening. So I love you, Mom. And I'm sorry that we talk about you on the radio once in a while.
I'm sure you're lovely.
I think the one thing that I've noticed also is the little things that you do. When we are talking with you at Annabelle Attic, you talked about, you take pictures of the house, the way everything was, the way it's positioned, the way the TV is, the way the chair is, what's on the table. And you try to replicate that when you move into the next place.
That's right. We call it mirroring. So if someone is used to sitting in their chair with their table to the left of them, and they have things in a certain order that may not look like order at all, we're going to take a picture of that table and we're going to put it back in that order. Some people might call that chaos. We just call it, that's how you want to have your table.
Right.
Same way with your clothing or your books. We're going to take a picture of your bookcases and all of your books will go back in the same order that they were on your bookcase. The clothes will go back into this closet in exactly the same order. If you go into your kitchen and you're used to reaching left for your coffee mug, in the upper cabinet, that's where your coffee mugs would be. If you're used to reaching right for your plates, you would be reaching right for your plates in your new home, assuming that you've got upper cabinets and you've got, you know. But we really do try to make it feel as though you're at home when you're in this new environment. And it is not always easy, but anything we can do to ease that transition through mirroring, we will do.
I think that's awesome. So thoughtful, because just a move is so stressful for anyone. But when it's not your choice, when life is kind of dictating that, everything that you can do to make that transition easier
right.
is just precious, you know, and I think it shows the level of care that you have for your clients as well.
Right. You know, we're a franchise, and most other people in our business haven't been in it as long as we have, and I just can't imagine doing anything else. I honestly can't imagine. I'm still very involved in the business every day. I like to go out to the job site. I like to talk to the seniors. You know, they're the smartest people that we get access to. They have all this life experience, mm-hmm. yeah. and history, and you know, we think we've seen change in our short lives, and I'm not that not that short of life at this point. But you know, someone who has 20 years on me has so much more change that they have seen than we've seen at all.
Right.
And so that gift of knowledge and wisdom is priceless to me.
Yes.
Priceless. And it makes talking with them a real joy.
How much training do you give your staff if they're so well organized and so well representative of you?
Yeah, I think, well, we try to cross-train everybody because, and ideally, we would have everybody start on our packing team because that's where we have the most access to our senior.
Uh-huh.
And I do feel that's super important because I want everyone to understand who we are serving, regardless of what part of the business we're in. You know, who do we serve if we're selling their items? Who do we serve if we're moving
right.
those people in our truck? We've got their stuff. And so the first place we put people is typically on our pack team. We do, you know, we have YouTube videos. We do test packing, you know,
wow.
so that we make sure they know how to get things safely from one place to another.
And I have to apologize to our listeners that we did not have more time to give you because we have just scratched the surface. So can you come back next week and join us?
I would love to.
All right. So tune in next Sunday. And in the meantime, how can people reach you?
Oh, they can reach us by calling our number. It is 520-850-4111. And you'll get a very nice lady named Casey, and she will be as sweet as pie. She's
okay.
going to talk to you.
Well, please tell them that Ray and Sandra sent you from the I Am Real Estate Show. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Indy Realty, Horizon Inspections, Inspired Life Mortgage, Rego Pest Prevention, Pioneer Title Agency, and Caring Transition. We will be back next week and finish our conversation with Sherry.